This is Michael Zapersky from FreshGigs.ca, Canada's number one job site for pre-screened marketing and creative professionals. Today I'm excited to have with me Mitch Joel. Mitch is a blogger, renowned speaker, author, and the president of Twist Image, a digital marketing agency. Mitch is also the author of Six Pixels of Separation, which is a business and marketing bestseller. In addition to being featured in media throughout North America, Mitch is also the chairman of the board at the Canadian Marketing Association. Mitch, I could keep going because you've done so much, but let me just say welcome.
My mother would be very proud. Thank you, Michael.
Yeah, there we go. So, Mitch, Google invited you to the Googleplex to explain online marketing to some of the top brands in the world. Why did they do that?
Because I'm awesome. What do you mean? I think that back when I first started my relationship doing some events with Google, they hold a lot of events annually. They're very much in the business of trying to explain to brands the power of these digital channels. And I think what they probably realized in the early days, and I'm not the only one who's brought in to do events with them, is that it's always better to hear from a third party. And so they bring in other people from within the industry to talk to their clients and customers and employees about what is happening in the space, what it means, and not unlike any other event I would speak at. They just happen to be one of the cooler brands I love working with.
Right. And how did that connection happen? I mean, how were you able to put yourself in front of Google or to be found and selected, you know, to come down to the Googleplex and get in front of all those well-known companies?
It's a process of luck and hard work, and I think they're both kind of intertwined. With Google, I had met a person through the work I was doing with shop.org and the National Retail Federation. Right. One of their senior executives was on the board there, I believe, and invited me to do a couple of conferences, and that sort of led to other people meeting me within the organization. And you know, over the years, we've become friendly with a whole bunch of people within that organization and many other organizations. And it's, you know, you have to be able to deliver ultimately. I think it's sort of the lesson. I think everyone thinks they can speak, and everyone thinks they can blog, and everyone thinks they could do Twitter or build an agency. But you have to be able to deliver at the end of the day. And so I spend a lot of my real sort of personal time and effort on making sure that myself and the team I surround myself with can deliver.
Let me ask you a question, because I think what you're mentioning here is really important. And, you know, there are a lot of people out there that they really seem to be kind of stretched thin. You know, they're trying to dip their toes into everything from Foursquare to Facebook to Twitter to Tumblr, you know, so on and so forth. Is that the right approach? Is that the right approach to take if, you know, people want to build their online brands and their personality that way? Or do you recommend that people should really focus on one medium, like just get involved in Twitter, just get involved in Facebook, or just blog and put all your effort into there? What's your approach, and what would you recommend to others?
Well, it's not a one or all answer. I think the beauty of what these channels offer is a customized solution for every individual. And I think the first step is in figuring out what you want to communicate and share with the world and where your competency lies. I was a writer by nature. I mean, it's the thing that I love to do most. I really consider the words I put on my blog or in my column for Huffington Post or the Montreal Gazette or Vancouver Sun or wherever, my art. I mean, I really take it as it's the sort of thing that I just really am passionate. I love to do. It's a sort of release valve for me at any given point during the day where the muse strikes me to write and put some thoughts down. For others, it might be shooting video. It might be taking pictures. It might be being quirky in 140 characters or less. And I think what people don't do is look at what they care about and what they love. When you can find that part of the media, text, images, audio, and video, the next part is easy because the platforms are pretty much free. I mean, you don't need – I mean, I have a customized blog on its own platform, but you don't necessarily need that. You can pretty much – hit yourself out of the gates on WordPress, and if you're a great writer and have things to share, people will find it and connect to it, and it's an amazing thing. So my usual recommendation is to figure out an area based off of the media you're passionate about that you can really create an interesting white space. You know, love or hate someone like Howard Stern, he takes this white space, which is 4 hours of dead radio air, and turns it into something very, very magical that nobody else can do. Rather than having an 8.5 by 11 white sheet of paper that is your history, education, previous work experience, et cetera, you can actually mm-hmm. create this organic three-dimensional space that really illustrates who you are, and it goes well beyond your professional competencies and just traipses into your passions. On any given day on my blog, you'll see me speak about books I'm reading, a business travel tip, a piece of art, a movie perhaps that I saw. It becomes this organic, living, three-dimensional place that is Mitch Jewell. I mean, I think my blog is better than any resume I could ever write up.
Right. Yeah, great points. When you look back at, you know, at your career to this point, are there one or two events or actions or, you know, steps that you took that paid off the most and that helped you to reach the level of success that you're at right now? I mean, can you think of any one or two things, decisions that you made that really made a huge difference more than, you know, all the little pieces along the way?
It's a great question, because if I look back and reflect on it, the sort of one or two are decisions that don't make sense.
Okay.
You know, they're not things that you would look at in a chronological way of a career and think, well, that made sense. You know, one of them was I was editing a local newspaper here that was talking to young people about opportunities if you were English in the Montreal area. And okay. I had interviewed with a young entrepreneur who was working on one of the first search engines, and we're talking years before Google existed. And a day or two later, they called and said, you know, we're thinking about building this out and having advertising. We think you might be a good person to work with us. And I took that job. I couldn't tell you what I was thinking, taking right. a job that was completely startup in a world where there wasn't really any startups and moving towards it, other than I had a passion for the internet at that point. I sort of felt that it was going to change communications, and I went for it. You know, another strange instance is the time I took my very hard-earned money, because I was in my teens, and bought a modem.
Okay,
that
yeah.
connected me to people through BBSs back then, because there wasn't really an internet or web browsing at the time. And sure. I felt through just the connecting of BBSs that this was something that very much intrigued me, or I was passionate about. So they don't, if you look at them, it wasn't things like when I got a degree or when I took that promotion or when somebody put an offer in front of me. It was much more radical and strange. I remember attending a sales event and then somehow connecting to the people who organized it and then hanging out at their office and then someone saying, hey, we should put you on stage. I mean, there's right. no rhyme or reason or thing I could have plotted that would have led to me then being represented by two of the best talent agents in the world for speaking, and me now doing, you know, 60 to 70 events a year that have, you know, been part of our business development success here at Twist Image.
Yeah, that's fascinating to hear how those decisions that, as you're saying, when you look back on, you know, it's not something that was maybe done strategically. It's more, I mean, I hear you talking a lot about kind of passion and following your gut feelings and just going for it. And things, obviously, through a lot of hard work have come together for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think the unique part of that question, and even in exploring it with you through conversation, is that if I even look back on it and would say, like, okay, now looking back, you have the perspective. I don't think there's perspective. Mm-hmm. I don't think it gives me any more clarity. I don't think that decision, any of those three decisions, had any logical sense.
You know? Yeah, and for sure, and maybe for you, you know, there isn't so much more. But I think for the audience here that's listening to this, you know, it makes you think a little bit. It might put some kind of add some perspective to what people are thinking and how they're moving forward with their lives and the decisions that they're making. So. No, that's really valuable.
Well, I think also the other part of that is that if you're looking at things in a linear way, it's hard to see things. So, most people look at jobs and vocation and changes linearly. I'm here mm-hmm. in this position with this salary. If I were to move, it has to be to a better place with more salary. Very okay. few people look at it from the perspective of, am I happy where I'm at? And if I'm not happy where I'm at, what am I willing to sacrifice to be happy?
Right.
And I think what's happened in my life is a lot of that. And so when people hear me say things like, I'm not driven by money, I'm not. I'm not necessarily driven by money. I believe that money is an amazing tool that provides comfort and security and gives me a ton of confidence. There's no doubt about it. But I'm not driven by it in my decisions of happiness. And what I mean by that is if I could take less money and be happier, I would.
Right.
I don't know what the threshold is in terms of how much less.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing for sure. It's interesting to hear you say this because a lot of what you're saying and kind of what you practice is, you know, is different. It kind of goes against the mainstream of a lot of people. And one thing in your book, you know, Six Pixels of Separation, you talk about the value of going slow, and you chose, you know, not to acquire clients by doing, for example, email marketing or traditional advertising and sales, but rather you really talked about, you know, your focus on putting really good content out there on your blog and by speaking. And I want to ask you, you know, why did you choose not to use those more traditional and aggressive marketing approaches when you're building your, you know, your marketing agency?
I think that when, you know, it's the agency Twist Image is myself and three other business partners. And I think that when we were looking at real growth, we felt that the best way to do that would be to really isolate ourselves as people who think differently. And clearly my background in publishing and writing and my perspective in terms of what I felt the future of marketing and a marketing agency should look like, as many people as there were out there talking about it and sort of moving towards that, it was still quite different than I think the general norm. And even to this day, you know, 12 years later, it's still very different. Even when I blog each day, I sort of look at my blog and think like, why aren't there more people trying to move their agency in that direction? But I think that that's the real sweet spot of it is it's not about doing what others aren't doing because that might not work. It's about doing what feels intuitively right to you. And then what happens from that, I think, is you wind up meeting and connecting and networking and building relationships with people of similar or shared values. And I think that that traditionally is what builds positive business. I spent a lot of time in my early years just networking and doing a lot of community service with the motto of, you know, I can't have a strong business unless there's a strong community. And I think although I've sort of consolidated my community work and things like that, I think still philosophically, I believe that I can't have a strong community, which includes the success of Twist Image as a business, unless I'm working within a community of like-minded people. And I think both the clients we work with and the audiences I'm asked to speak in front of and the people who read or listen to my work through my podcast, it's a shared value experience. And what that leads me to understand is that the market isn't about trying to hit everyone. It's about trying to hit the right people. And that was also sort of core tenet of the book that I wrote, which was it wasn't about how many people, it was about who I was connecting to. I think that there's a bigger message in that for marketers too.
Right. Yeah. Great point. Mitch, I know time-wise, you know, we don't have too much time today and I want to honor what we agreed to there, but just a couple more questions for you if that's all right. You know, at Twist Image, at your agency, when you're looking to hire people or to bring, you know, contractors in, what do you look for when are you looking for experience? Are you looking at the resume? Are you looking at, you want to see results? What are the kind of the key things that you look for when you're making a hire or bringing someone to work with?
In full disclosure, I really try not to touch HR. It's one of the few areas of the business that I really struggle with. And the reason I struggle with it is because, I'm very self-actualized and confident and comfortable in what I'm trying to do professionally with my life. And I struggle a lot with people who need a lot of the validation and the, hey, how are you? And good morning. And are you feeling validated at work today? And are you on the right career path? I was never like that. And I've been an employee at many different types of organizations as well. And so in the early days of Twist Image, I sort of acknowledged the fact that this is not my core. It's not my area of excellence. And so I have, you know, my three other partners are much better at the HR challenge and question. What I can tell you is that it's all that in everything. I think there are instances in the business's growth where we have a specific role that needs to be filled and you're looking to put that square peg in the square peg. And I think there are instances where people traipse through the doors and they simply have something and we're not sure what. and we're willing to figure it out as we go. And so while we cover the full spectrum, I think ultimately you're looking for smart people, caring people, people who want to add value, people. And you know, I talk about it as a fundamental. The fundamental that I told my partners prior to really removing myself from HR is I don't want people coming here who want a job. I want people mm-hmm. walking this door because it's the work they were meant to do. So yeah. Whether you're a project manager in information architecture, UI, strategy, creative, developer, analytics, it doesn't matter to me. I hope that you've accepted the position, the salary number, the compensation, the signing of the employment agreement in the spirit of this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And if not, I want you out of here really fast because I want to fill that role with someone who has that. So when I'm dealing even with my assistant on speaking and things like that, I'm hopeful that when she's managing the contracts and the travel and all that, it's the stuff she feels she's really great at. I know I'm not great at it.
Right, for sure. Yeah, I mean, it would be nice. I think, you know, that would be great to have more people. We often see a lot of people, you know, through different networking events or whatever it might be that are out there to get a job, and all they're really looking for is a job. They're not looking for something to fulfill their passions and to, you know, to make them happy and to enjoy. And ultimately, when people are, you know, in a position and doing work that they really do enjoy and they're passionate about, the results are so much better. And, you know, it's just, it works for everyone, both the employer and the employee. So
I'll tell you something else about that that I find really fascinating too, is that I get emailed all the time, you know, hey, Mitch, I'm currently here and I'm not happy and I'm looking for a transition. I was hoping you can talk to me. And my answer back is always, I'm happy to meet and chat, but tell me more about what you're looking for. And the answer, I tell you 90% of the time, is I don't know. And that's really problematic too. I think people who are like you said, they're sort of just looking for a job.
Right.
That's the challenge. And, you know, there's the old, you know, what color is your parachute type thinking, but it's really strong. I mean, I think that type of self-discovery is critical for people. And even if you're in a job that you love now, I think doing that type of self-discovery will help clarify a lot of the things. I know that when I went through the process of that, and I try and review that every once in a while to make sure I'm even just course correcting for where I'm at mm-hmm. in my career and my own success. I find it really valuable because it brings out a lot of things, like even in that whole spirit of like the creativity and art of writing about business. I can look back to early days of me liking comic books and trying to trace them and as one of the direct links to that creativity. And it's funny that like I would have thought that, you know, reading comics or even trying to trace Superman or Batman or the X-Men or whoever had any real professional value, but it was tremendous because it was really unlocking and firing synapses that I didn't even think about until I was in my late 30s.
Right. Right. So let me ask you, Mitch, final question here. You blog, you run a company, you speak, you work with clients. I mean, how do you keep all this manageable? Can you share a few tips around your approach to productivity and just, I mean, if are you using any kind of technology or tools that you can recommend or suggest? But just generally, I mean, there's clearly you have a lot going on. What's your approach to making sure that you keep your priorities intact and that you're being productive?
Well, I think you answered the question in the question, which is you have to know what your priorities are. I know that I'm committed primarily to the clients we serve. And that nothing else happens in my day unless I'm doing that and building the business side of what Twist Image is. When I go home at night, sometimes when I wake up early in the morning, people ask me, do you ever sleep? The answer is I sleep like a baby. I actually sleep, you know, I made a rule prior to building Twist Image with my business partners, and the rule was very simple. I will go to sleep when I'm tired, and I will wake up without an alarm. In the 12-plus years, I don't think I've broken that rule more than a handful of times, and the only times I've broken it is simply because I had to catch an earlier flight, and my reason for that is because family trumps all in my world. And so as much as I travel, people don't realize that I travel so much because I'm actually coming home a lot more to spend time and have a quality life with my family. And I think if you ask my family, they would tell you that I'm home more than I'm away. And for someone who travels about 150,000 kilometers in the air a year, that's saying a lot. Because I spend a lot of my time there. I try to make myself as flexible as possible, meaning I want to be as nomadic in my work as possible. I don't need a physical office space. We have offices in Montreal and Toronto. I have a very nice office, but I don't physically need it. I have a MacBook Air. I try and be as portable and as mobile as possible and as flexible as possible. And then ultimately, it's the core lesson for my productivity is something I pulled out of this guy, Dan Sullivan, who's known as the strategic coach. And I've never taken the coach sessions. I hear they're great, but I've read a lot of his stuff. And it's working on the areas that I know I am best at. And I think that that's the core thing for my productivity, which is if I'm working on something and it's not my area of excellence, I really try and figure out, one, how to end this fast or how to get someone in who it is their core center of excellence. And by working and focusing on that, I get a lot of pleasure. The other side trick is I don't take and drive much joy from sitting at home and just watching TV. And so when I'm home doing that after the family's quietened down and the night's a bit dark and everyone's just sort of floating around, I actually think that I'm most creative then. I'm looking at videos. I'm watching documentaries on iTunes. I'm probably writing and thinking. I don't think I have, it amazes me that people think I'm busy. I actually don't think I'm all that busy. I actually look a lot at my life very often and think like, wow, I'm pretty lazy. If I was actually more active, I could probably get some stuff done here.
Okay.
So there you go.
But does that work? I mean, can you flip that? Is it because you've structured your schedule to allow you to have these times where you can really think, or where you're not so busy, and that allows you to really focus on the key areas of whatever it is that you're working on?
Yeah. I mean, I make very radical choices that don't seem logical to people. I made a choice prior to even being able to afford it that if I could get in, I would go to the TED conference. And, for half a decade now, I've been going to that every year, with the exception of a couple of years where I just had, I think it was a book launch and some family stuff 1 year. It's a very heavy cost to do that, from paying to go to just the travel and all that. But that was the investment I was willing to make, much like young people make the investment in an Ivy League school for my education and growth. Same thing. There's a couple of other events that I make a point of going to. I'm out of the office. I'm not on the road speaking. I'm there as an attendee to learn and grow. And then there are moments for sure during the day where I do more micro versions of that, where, a lot of times, people laugh, but the blog and the podcast are selfish acts. There are acts that I do that enable me to grow. It's critical thinking when I'm having a conversation with you or writing a blog post about whatever it is I'm blogging about. It's a moment of critical thinking where I'm growing. Now, the fact that people share on that and comment and put it out to the world and enjoy it is great, but I'm very candid that it is a selfish act for me.
All right, Mitch. No, this has been a lot of fun. If people want to find out more about you, the best place to go would be twistimage.com/blog,
or just do a search on Google, Yahoo, or Bing for Mitch Joel.
There we go, folks. Mitch, again, thanks so much, and take care.
Thanks, Michael.